Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, December the 8th. And a lot of interesting things happening in the country, as always. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about there's talk of expanding the courts. Remember that famous debate during 2020 where Joe Biden didn't want to take a position on court packing, as they like to call it? Well, it appears that there's a commission that has released a report. We haven't seen it yet, but we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And this is crazy, this story that we'll get into tonight as well. Boys competing as girls or young men competing as young women and winning trophies in female sports. This is crazy. There's a big story. I also have a post about this, by the way, coming out tomorrow, Thursday morning. This is crazy. We'll talk about that later on. But let me begin with a couple of quick stories here that are in the news related to Texas. As you know, Beto O'Rourke is challenging Governor Abbott for the title of governor of Texas. It's a little bit too early to look at the polls because both of these men are going through a primary. I think that both will win their primary unless something dramatic happens. I think both will win the primary in the first round and, you know, move on to the general election. So polling data at this moment is, you know, you don't want to draw too many conclusions from it, but it is an indication, at least as of now. The latest poll out of Texas has Governor Abbott plus 15 over Beto O'Rourke. Plus 15 over Beto O'Rourke. It was 9, I think, the last time I checked. So clearly the governor has gained some ground on Beto O'Rourke. One of the interesting things that they were asking people about in this particular poll was the big issue in Texas, and the border is the big issue in Texas. And, of course, that does not help Beto O'Rourke because he's been, you know, there's a lot of stupid things that he said about the border over the years, and a lot of that stuff is coming back to bite him. But Abbott plus 15, that's pretty interesting to me. Again, it's early. We're 11 months from the actual election. So he's got plenty of time to shrink that plus 15. But that's telling me that Beto O'Rourke's campaign is not off to a great start. That's what that is telling me. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. But as I say, it won't really get serious until the primaries in March, and we'll see what happens then. Texas and the Department of Justice are in the middle of a big battle over the maps. And what's interesting is the Wall Street Journal came out with a poll today indicating that the Hispanics are becoming much more open, if you will, to vote Republican. I mean, the Biden administration has been very unpopular with Hispanics. The border, inflation, the price of gasoline, all of these issues are hurting Democrats with Hispanics. So that's another one we'll keep an eye on. We'll keep an eye on that poll as 2022 happens here in front of us. But let's talk about the courts. You know, during the campaign, if you remember during the presidential campaign, that Joe Biden never really took a position on packing the court. They would ask him, and he would evade the question. He would say, well, I don't want to answer that because if I answer that, that's going to become the issue in the campaign. So he basically got around it by not answering the question. The media did not push him on this. That's a great disservice, I think, that the media did to the voters. The media did not force him to say yes or no. So as a consequence, he got away with saying nothing. Well, he's under a lot of pressure from the left wing of the party. The left wing of the party wants to expand the courts, much like they want to do away with the filibuster in the Senate. Because with the court composition the way it is right now, six Republican appointments and three Democrats, basically three from Trump, two from George W. Bush, one from the first Bush, one from Clinton, and two from President Obama. What you have there is a court that right now clearly tilting to the right, and we've seen it in many decisions, not just abortion when that comes about. So the left is angry. They know that they've got 50 votes, but they can't get anything done. They've got a majority in the House, and they can't get anything done. So they're looking to the courts, hoping that somehow, you know, we can change the Supreme Court and expand the Supreme Court so that, you know, more liberal judges, I guess, will give them in the courts what they cannot win through the legislatures, as well as through many of these appeals courts. I mean, it's been a really bad year for President Biden in the appeals courts. I mean, he just lost another mandate. He's lost everything that he's done this year in the courts. It's amazing. The courts have not been very good to Joe Biden. Now, I think the reason he's losing so much in the courts is because he's trying to govern by executive order. If he would go to the Congress and say, look, let's work out a mandate agreement, then, you know, you could throw it in the Congress and see what the Congress does. But when you just sit there and write these executive orders, you know they're going to end up in the courts, and you know that the courts are going to push them back, as they are doing with all of this. So the left is angry. They want more judges because they think having more judges increases their chances of getting many of these things done. But, you know, packing the court, increasing the number of justices in the court is extremely unpopular with the American people, because I think the American people look at the Supreme Court and they look at it and say, well, you know, this is supposed to be not political. Obviously, there's politics in the court. I mean, let's not deny that. But it is at least supposed to be looking at things from a constitutional standpoint. I think for the most part it does. So the left is very angry. President Biden came under a lot of pressure. He didn't want to take a position on it. So what he did is he put together a commission, and apparently the commission is going to come back with recommendations. I don't know what they're going to recommend, but there is no way that this Congress has 60 votes to expand the court. It just doesn't have it. And this is all going to fall apart and become another problem for the Democrats with their angry left. I mean, the Democrats are really a divided party right now. We don't hear that much about it, but they're very divided right now between the left and the rest of the party, I guess. And this thing with the courts is another example of that. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about boys and girls playing together. Not a good idea. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. There is a university in Pennsylvania. I believe it's the University of Pennsylvania. I think that's the one. And they have had a lot of success winning swimming titles. You know, the feminine, the girls' team, has been winning a lot of trophies and a lot of titles. And obviously, when that happens, we congratulate the girls for winning titles. The problem at the University of Pennsylvania is that the person who's winning the titles is not a girl. It is a man who somehow has changed into a girl, not physically. I don't think he's done that part. But nevertheless, he's competing as a girl because he thinks he's a girl. And this particular young person, I don't like to call those people young women because they're not young women. Whatever you want to call them, they're not young women. They're not women, but this transgender, I guess, if you want to call them that, has been winning all kinds of trophies. They've been defeating all kinds of girls and from other schools. And so University of Pennsylvania, you know, is boasting about their girls' swim team. But the problem is the girl winning all the titles and setting all the records is not a girl. She is a man who's competing as a woman. And I think that that is horrific, because it's hurting female sports. We saw a little bit of this during the Olympics when New Zealand sent somebody as a weightlifter who is actually a man competing as a woman. And this is now starting to happen, not in every university, let's be fair, but it's happening in some. The more woke the university, the more likely they are to tolerate this. And this is killing, in my opinion, this is killing women's sports. The idea that you have men winning trophies and defeating girls in female sports is completely crazy. Completely, completely crazy. And they're doing a great disservice here to the young women who spend all their lives preparing and you know, practicing and preparing for these sporting events. So here comes some guy who's much bigger and much faster than the girl, and he wins. Well, I don't think, there's nothing to celebrate as far as I'm concerned when that happens. It's a disgrace. It's a total disgrace. And I wish, you know, I wish that more state legislatures would start doing what we did here in Texas, which is to say that you have to compete in the gender that you were born. If you were born a man, you compete as a man. If you're born as a woman, you compete as a woman. That's the way it should be. But this craziness of having men winning trophies in female sports, it's crazy. It's absolutely unfair to the girls who spend years, you know, practicing. And in some cases, it denies them scholarships, too. It's not just the trophy. It's the scholarships that some of these girls are being denied because boys are winning these titles. That is just absolutely crazy in my my point of view, and it has to stop. It has to stop. And my post coming out tomorrow morning, the question or the title of my post is, when is somebody going to ask President Biden about this? I would like to know if the President of the United States supports this. He's got daughters. I assume he's got great granddaughters. What does he tell his granddaughters about this? I like to know. Of course, he never answers questions, so I guess we will never know. A couple of very interesting things on this day in history, going back to 1941. Of course, this is the day after Pearl Harbor. It was on this day in 1941, December the 8th, that President Roosevelt went before the Congress and declared war, or asked the Congress for a declaration of war against Japan. And what makes that so interesting, obviously he got it. Most of the country was in favor of declaring war. But he got it, obviously, from the Congress. But what makes this vote so interesting is that this is the last time that a president of the United States actually went to the Congress for a declaration of war. We have fought many wars since: Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq. Now, those four, Iraq and Afghanistan, President Bush the first and President Bush the second, did go to Congress and got a resolution from the Congress to go to war. It was not a formal declaration, but it was a resolution. So at least the Congress had something to say on it. But Vietnam and Korea were not fought that way. Vietnam was fought under this so-called Gulf of Tonkin resolution, and I don't know of anybody who voted for that thinking that we would be sending 500,000 men to Vietnam. I know that's not what they were thinking. And Korea, of course, was more complicated. I think that was a UN resolution. So it's fascinating that it was 80 years since we've had a president actually declare war, to go to war. And I think we need to get back into that because that's the constitutional way of doing it. The president goes to the Congress and he gets a declaration. Now, a resolution like we did in Iraq and Afghanistan, I can live with that. I can live with that. But fighting wars without a resolution, I think that's not a very good idea. And a lot of people think that President Johnson should have been impeached for what he did in Vietnam. That's for another show and another topic. But, man, we should have had at least something more than just the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. Well, on this day in history in 1980, John Lennon was shot late in the evening, coming back to his apartment, I think the way it was. And this was the day that he was shot. And, of course, for many people learned about this very late at night. They were watching TV or whatever, or watching the news, or watching the football game. Many people actually learned about it during the football game. But it's just hard to believe, 41 years ago, that John Lennon was assassinated as he was coming back to his apartment in New York City. What a, time just flies, I guess. 41 years ago that John Lennon was assassinated. I feel like it was yesterday, as I recall it so vividly. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.